I pray that, but we know you'll do that, whether we pray it or not. Your word is sent and never, ever returns void without accomplishing what you desire. So I pray, God, come accomplish your work through this word, and I'll praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. If you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. I've been working on a message all week, had it into the computer, had my notes, and sometime yesterday began to work on something different, and so I've got something different from you. I was able to get here in the morning and get notes on and get notes in. It's kind of been a change up for some of us preparing for this message. God's been dealing with me. God's been speaking to me about certain things that I want to share with you about, and that I want to challenge us as a church family about. And so the title of this message is Three Questions for a New Year. Three Questions for a New Year. And the very first question that I want to ask is, or about myself, or ask you, and I'll ask you first, is this, is what are you yoked to? Or what am I yoked to? It's a good question. Because you're yoked to something. And many of us go through life yoking ourselves to things that we don't need to be yoking ourselves to. Now, y'all know what a yoke is, right? You know what a yoke is? Can I have a picture of that first picture of yoke, okay? Right? Oh, not that one, not that one. That's a different, yeah, that's it right there, okay. It's not egg yolk. It's this kind of yoke. It's used to put two animals together, okay? And to furrow farmland, to break up fallow ground. And kind of like just instead of one, you've got two cows. Sometimes there's a cow and sometimes there's another kind of animal, a bird and a beast or whatever, and they're yoked together, okay? They're yoked together and they go where each of them go, okay? That's what a yoke is. And the question I want to ask you today, one of the first questions is what are you yoked to? And what are you yoked to right now? What have you been yoked to this week? What is the thing that you've been yoked to and it's been taking you to the places that you don't want to go? Now, if you're yoked to Jesus, you're going to go to places that Jesus is going to take you, and it's good places. But if you're yoked to something else in this life other than Jesus, it's taking you to places that you don't want to go and you don't want to be. Matter of fact, in this passage of scripture in Matthew chapter 11, verse 25, Jesus comes and he says in verse 28, come to me, that's an imperative, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come to me, and an imperative says this, come to me and come now, and come follow me. The word weary means to be tired, exhausted with toils or burdens or grief, and heavy laden is just a heavy load. I mean, it's not just you're exhausted, but you got this heavy load upon you. And I know that we're in a season, you can be in a season right now where there's just a heavy burden on you. And there's a load on you. Because maybe you're yoked to something that you don't need to be yoked to. Now, when we look at this passage of scripture, we all know that Jesus comes to do this life, to give us life. We'll see this in just a moment in the second question, but he comes to give us life. And I just want you to know there's a burden, there's sometimes a burden you carry as a Christian when you're yoked to Jesus, but it's not the same burden you have when you're yoked to something else other than Jesus. So you can be burdened. There can be some things heavy in your life as a believer being yoked to Jesus. But when you're yoked to something else, that's not it. That's not it. I look at my life and I see some of the things that I have been yoked to in this life. I see that I've been yoked to fear, the feeling of inadequacy. I've been yoked to anger and bitterness. I've been yoked to worry and anxiety. I've been yoked to the love of security and comfort. I've even been yoked to unpleasant circumstances. And I want to tell you, I've been yoked to unpleasant circumstances this week. I've been yoked to pride. And you know what? We're all yoked to something. And I want to find myself yoked to Christ every single day of my life. And I think about the things that we get yoked to. Some of you are yoked to your past. and you measure your lives by what's been and assume that your future will stay the same because of what your past was. Some of you regret your past, and the enemy will come in like a flood as a person who's given your life to Christ, and all things are new, and all things are fresh, but yet the enemy will just come and say, hey, I want you to be yoked to the past. And I tell you, there's nothing in Christ, nothing in Jesus that wants you to be yoked to those kinds of things. What are you yoked to? In our past, the things that we've, the way we've lived, we get yoked to guilt, we get yoked to shame. Some of us are yoked to the choices that we've made. And you know, some of you are yoked to the choices your mom and dad make. Bad choices. And you feel like you've got to be defined by what they did or didn't do. Some of us are embarrassed by parents. Some of us are embarrassed by our children and worried about our children. We get yoked to their circumstances. There are people who are yoked to drugs and to alcohol. People who are yoked to their cell phone and to social media. Uh-oh. You know what I mean. You know what I mean. Some of you are yoked to your account, your retirement account. Some are yoked to strongholds of lust and greed and anger and bitterness. Some are yoked to what someone else has said. And maybe even this week, somebody has said something to you that you walk through the week yoked to what man has said as opposed to being yoked to God and what God has said. Let me ask you a question. When somebody says something and does something negative or something that you just don't think they've responded right, and you get yoked to that all week, has your week really been fruitful? Do this. No, it hasn't been fruitful. Because I've been under that yoke. And that circumstance or that thing or whatever that was, it just is, I'm yoked to it and I'm going to go wherever that thing goes. You know it and I know it. You know, you've seen it in the past. You've seen it when you've walked in anger, when you've walked in bitterness, when you've been disappointed about something, when the relationship has gone south or when there's been a fractured relationship. You get yoked to it. And it's time to no longer get yoked to those kinds of things. Some of you have had bad experiences. Some of you have had bad experiences in churches and ministries. And therefore, because of the bad experience, you get yoked to that, and therefore, you no longer open yourself for the power of God to work in your life with another church or even the same church. And you're always going around with doubt and unbelief and just ready for the shoe to drop. And that's something that you don't want. That's nothing you want to be yoked to. And I want to ask you, what are you yoked to? I want you to keep your place here and go to Mark chapter 4 for just a moment. I want to give you a passage of scripture that we'll look at through these three questions, because these three questions are linked together, okay? So Mark chapter 4, verse 35. Okay, Mark 4, 35. And let me get there too. On that day, when evening had come, he said to them, "Let's go to the other side of the sea." And leaving the crowd, they took him along with them in the boat, just as he was, and other boats were with him. And there arose a fierce gale of wind. And the waves were breaking over the boat so much that the boat was already filling up. And Jesus himself was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him up and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" And he got up and he rebuked the wind and he said to the sea, "Hush, be still," and the wind died down and it became perfectly calm. And when he said to them, "Why are you afraid? How is it that you have no faith?" And then they became very afraid and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" I feel like sometimes this is just our lives, don't you? A storm brews, a storm is in the middle of it, and it's hurt, or it's just whatever. It could be a diagnosis of some sort, but the waves are real. I'm not saying the problem's not weird. They're real in our lives. And before long, we start getting yoked to the situation. I tell you, I suggest you, in this moment, they are yoked to their situation and their circumstances. They're yoked to it. And Jesus is asleep on the cushion, okay, in the front. I mean, he's at peace. I don't know about you, but in the storm, I want to yoke myself to somebody who's got peace all over them that's willing to sleep through the storm. That's where I want to be. I'm not saying I'm there yet, but I want to be there. I want to be where Jesus is. When everything seems to be falling apart and everybody else is crying, the sky is falling. Even though the sky is falling, he's asleep with peace. And what happens, instead of getting yoked to the peace, they get yoked to what? Fear, worry, anxiety, stress. And let me just tell you, you've heard this before, and we've got messages on it online, but let me just tell you what fear is. Fear, all fear is a response to an assumption that you're going to lose something. That's what fear is. And they're assuming a couple of things. They're yoked to their circumstances, and fear comes, and all of a sudden they're yoked to doubt. They doubt God. They doubt Jesus and who's in the boat with them. They doubt. They even say it. Don't you even care that we're perishing? They doubt God's care for them. They begin to walk in this unbelief, instead of being yoked to faith, the yoke to belief, to know that God's going to work it all out, they start assuming some things. And it's not a good thing to assume things, because it will yoke you and take you to places of despair and distress and worry and fear and anxiety. Let me ask you, what are you yoked to today? They're yoked to false assumptions. They're perishing. No, they're not perishing. I mean, how many times have you wrung your hands and said, it's done, it's over, we're dead. It's dead. And yet you don't know, because you haven't lived the next moment. You've not gone into the next day. You've not gone into the next week. You've not gone into the next month. But right now, you'll stress and be yoked to something that has not happened yet and may not ever, ever happen. Has that ever worked for you? Have you ever seen that, where you've been yoked to fear and anger, fear and worry and anxiety, and you think something's coming along, and it's coming, and it's coming, and it's coming, and you're fretting, and you're worrying, and you're losing sleep over it, and you're losing weight over it, and you know, all that other stuff, and it's just, you're just a nervous wreck. And then one day you look back and you realize, it never happened. But I'm here to say, even if it did happen, if you're in Christ, he's in the boat with you. If you're in Christ, he is in the boat with you, and he is working it all out for his goodness and his glory. That's his promise. The question is will you be yoked to Jesus? Because that's what he says. Come to me, all you who are heavy bear, you're bearing this burden, you're loaded down. And then he says, verse 29, take my yoke upon you. And then learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. And watch this, and you will find rest for your souls, because my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You know, I think sometimes when we look at this, I look at this passage of scripture, and I see people who are always trying so hard with a heavy burden and a heavy load to get things right. The heavy burden to do it right. The heavy burden to please God. And sometimes we can get such a burden to please man or please God or please the boss or please the spouse or please whatever. And I want to tell you, when it comes to Christ, and the reason why his yoke is easy, because his yoke is easy and his burden's light, is because all he asks you to do is just to believe him and be yoked to him through faith. Because there's nothing you can do, there's nothing you can earn, nothing you can do to earn his grace, his love, his pleasure. But the scripture says, it's impossible to please him without faith. What are you yoked to? What is your yoke? What are you so burdened and heavy laden about? And what is it that's just controlling your life today? I'm here to say to you that Jesus is the yoke breaker and then the new yoke giver that is easy and is light. Will you believe that today? Will you believe that today about your moments, about your circumstances, about your future, about all that you have going on in your life right now, that Jesus wants to break the yoke of doubt and unbelief and fear? Jesus says, listen, I'm gentle and humble. And my burden, my yoke is pleasant. It's easy and it's light. In other words, it's in weight and agility. My load is light. And this is what he says. He says, when you put my yoke on me, you get yoked to me, you're going to have rest for your soul. He doesn't say you're going to have rest from the problem. Rest from the difficulty. You'll see this in just a moment. But you will have rest for your soul. And I want to tell you, that is gold. It's golden. Because you know that there's seasons in your life where things are going on pretty good, but you're still miserable. You're still miserable. But there's times when you know that you're in Christ and things are difficult and they're hard. There's something deep down in your soul and something deep down in your heart that you know that God is God and He is Lord. And I've got this great peace. And God calls it rest. He calls it rest. And the question I'm asking you to ask this new year is, what am I yoked to? And will I yoke myself to Jesus? And how do we do that? And what does that look like? Well, it's kind of the second question. The second question that I want to ask is, will I choose life? What am I yoked to? Am I yoked to Jesus? And will I choose life and not death? And you know, it's kind of the same thing. I mean, when I get yoked to drugs and alcohol, or I get yoked to fear and angst and lust and greed, and I get yoked to the inadequacy or all these other things that we've talked about, I'm not choosing life. I'm choosing death. And so the question is what am I yoked to? Am I yoked to Christ? And am I taking the weariness and the heavy laden over all these things in life? And am I laying it down and Jesus breaking it? And then am I choosing life? And I want you to go to Matthew chapter 7, verse 13. Matthew chapter 7, verse 13. I love this passage of scripture, and this was part of what I was going to preach today. But I was struck by something reading back over it, that verse 12 says, in everything, therefore treat people the same way you want them to treat you, for this is the law and the prophets. This is the what? The golden what? Hey, can I hear that? The golden rule. Okay. And then he says this. Enter through the narrow gate. For the gate is wide, the gate is big, and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and there are many who are entering through it. For the gate is small, and the way is narrow that leads to life, and there are few who find it. Second question is, are you choosing life today over death? Are you choosing the movement of God that brings you to abundance, or are you choosing destruction, things that lead to destruction? And it's just interesting here because, you know, you've got two ways. But Scripture, it's filled with example and exhortation on this very point. There's always just two ways, a way to life or a way to death. And there's only one way to death, and it's through the narrow or the small gate on the narrow road. And the small gate is Jesus, and the narrow gate or the wide gate is anything else that you want to put your trust in for salvation and for life. It's a broad way, and it leads to destruction. And although I really believe this passage is about a passage of entering through by faith, and we're going to see that in just a moment, and how faith moves in our lives, and how great things follow faith. And I'm not talking about flesh stuff. I'm talking about spirit things, soul things.
And so here's the thought. There's two ways, and you see it with Joshua in Joshua 24:15 on the screen. If it's disagreeable in your sight to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves whom you're going to serve. Are you going to serve the gods which your father served? Listen, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. You're going to serve the gods that your parents served, or are you going to serve God? You're going to serve what the non-Christian, the unbeliever serves in this life, or are you going to serve God? There's one way, there's two ways, and there's only one way to life. Jeremiah 21:8 says, "You shall say to the people, thus says the Lord, behold, I set before you the way of life and the way of death." In Elijah in 1 Kings 18:21 says to the Israelites who are worshiping Baal and the Baals, "How long will you hesitate between opinion to opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal is Lord, then go on and follow him." Now, notice what it says when they responded. "But the people did not answer him a word." Let me ask you a question. If you saw that this was so critical, if you saw that this was so important, that this is what will base your life on and your eternal life on, that are you going to serve the gods of this world, or are you going to, Baals, or are you going to serve God? And I asked that question to you, but you looked at me like you were a cow looking at a new gate. But you don't answer. You just look at me, and you don't answer a word. They didn't answer him a word. Great showdown, by the way, Mount Carmel. Great showdown in how God conquers. But I want to tell you this. Some of us have been silent too long. You got to make a choice. Are you going to be yoked to the things that bring you to life? Are you going to choose the way of life? Or are you going to be yoked to something that brings destruction and choose the way, the life that leads to death? It's two choices. And I love this because, yeah, when I was 8, I received Christ. I went through the gate of salvation and got on the way that leads to life. But it's amazing to me that Jesus says the way is narrow. But we got doctrines today all over the place that make the road wider and wider and wider. And you know what I'm talking about. The road, the scripture says, is narrow. It doesn't change. As a matter of fact, Jesus would come along and he'd say in Matthew 12:30, "He who's not with me is against me, and he who does not gather, you scatter." John 10:10 says, "The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I came that you might have life and have it abundantly." Galatians 6:7-9 says, "You're either going to sow to the spirit that reaps eternal life, or you're going to sow to the flesh that reaps destruction." There's only one way to life. Jesus said in Matthew 10:10, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." And yes, I entered the narrow gate, but I'm going to tell you, every decision I have, everything that I look at in my life has, I know it's going to have consequences to my life. And I want to tell you, I want to choose life every single day. Because listen, the Bible says it this way. It says, as you've received the Lord Jesus, so walk in him. You receive Jesus and you start living your life. And God says, wait a minute, I'm not through yet. This is a journey. This is a walk. It's a walk of transformation, and it's a walk of joy, and it's a walk of love, and it's a walk of peace. It is a walk that is so wonderful. See, when I get yoked to complaint, and I compare myself with others, what they get or what they don't get, I've just yoked myself to something that I don't need to be yoked to. And in a sort of a way, I yoke myself to and choose the way of a death. And I compare myself with others and what they've got and what they don't have. And I can do that physically. I can do that spiritually. I can do that monetarily. I can do that financially. And all of a sudden, I've got this thing going on in my mind, in my heart, that I start walking in unbelief. Do you know what I'm talking about here? And all of a sudden, I'm choosing death in this situation. I get the burden, and I get the heavy laden, and I get the unhappiness, and I don't know how to walk in joy, and I don't get the peace, and the peace is stolen from me. Because I'm not choosing life.
When I get yoked to Jesus, he's going to take me down the road that leads to life. And I want to tell you, the Bible says it's small and the way is narrow. In other words, it says it's a tight fit. A tight fit. And that's exactly what the word narrow means. The way is not easy. And matter of fact, the Bible's filled with this thought. I mean, Jesus says, take up your cross and follow me. The foxes have holes and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay its head. And those who wish to live godly will be persecuted. Jesus said, you'll be hated, you'll be mocked, you'll be teased, you'll be ridiculed, you'll be pressed to live like the world. They'll press you and press you and press you to go along with them. They'll bring you before their judges, you'll be persecuted, beaten, put to death. There'll be difficulties. Jesus said, in the world you have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. How many of you love the hymn Amazing Grace? Yeah, raise your hand high. I love it. Do you like the verse says, through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come? Let's listen to it. Dangers, toils, and snares. 'Tis grace has brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me on. I mean, in the Christian life, there are toils, and there are snares, and there are dangers. But to walk after him, it's all worth it. It's all worth it. It's all worth it. Because there's a joy unspeakable. There's a joy that no one else understands. There's a peace that surpasses it. It's just like when the disciples were beaten and they praised God at midnight in Philippi. They worshiped and were glad and were joyful. It was a choice they made, but it was a choice because of who the Spirit of God was in their lives. And all of a sudden, they see miracle after miracle, and the church is planted in Philippi with that Philippian jailer who had beaten them just a few hours before. It's a privilege. It's a privilege to get on the narrow road. It's a privilege to be attacked by the enemy. It is a privilege. And it's a privilege and as God empowers you to overcome when the enemy attacks. I mean, did you know that in 2016, 90,000 Christians were martyred for their faith? Around the world, in 2016, 90,000 believers were martyred for their faith. That's one Christian dying by martyrdom every 6 minutes. 10 every hour. This morning from 6 a.m. to about right now, or I was thinking I was going to be about 11 o'clock at right this hour, but 60 believers were killed for their faith. 60. All morning long. The way's narrow that leads to life. But that's the key. The narrow way leads to life. And how do we enter it in? We enter it by faith. It's the only way. It's the only way to enter in. It's the only way to live. It's the only way to stay. It's by faith. It's by faith. It's by faith. It's by faith. We exercise faith. And I want to ask you, are you choosing life by first of all exercising faith? Because let me tell you something. You can sacrifice and you can think you're obeying all day long. But if it's not out of faith and if it's not out of love, it is a dead work. It's by faith. It's what I believe in who God is and what God is doing. And then I put my trust in him. And then I do what? I obey. I respond. And I just want to say that this is what God offers us. To be yoked to him and to make every decision of our life a decision that we find life in, not death. It's a great thought. And you know what's another great thought? You might have spent the whole week choosing to live and finding death, but I want to tell you today, you can stop doing that right now and find life in your choice. Right now. Right now. That's how great God is. Amen. You don't have to wait 10 weeks. You can find life right now by choosing to believe right now, right here. Choosing to love right now, right here. Choosing to let go right now, right here. Will I choose life?
that there's a great story in the Old Testament, and it's talked about in the New Testament. Don't have time to look at it, but I want you to see the verses real, just a moment, so you'll know, and you can write them down if you don't have the notes. But the first is Numbers 13, 25 through 14, chapter 14 through verse 7. The second is Hebrews 3, 7 through chapter 4, verse 1. Really, really powerful, powerful passage of scriptures. And this is, I'm just going to tell you the story real quick. The children of Israel, they come out of Egypt, and they cross the Red Sea in this miraculous way. And then they get to the Jordan. And Moses sends out spies, 12 of them. And they go out into the land that God said to his people, "This is your land. This is where I'm going to settle you." It's a picture. It's a type and shadow of rest. It's a type and shadow of peace. It's a type and shadow of the Beulah land. Have you ever heard that song, Beulah Land? Look it up, okay? It's the type and shadow of what our lives are supposed to look like. And he sends them out, and they come back, and I mean, fruit's so big, they're carrying on poles, on yokes. They're carrying on poles. And they come and they report to the people, and they say, "Man, God is right. I mean, you go in that land, it's flowing with milk and honey. I mean, this land is a great land. I mean, just look at the fruit that we brought on. These clusters of grapes are so big and so large. Yeah, God said it, and it's happening. But the people in the land, they're too big for us." And the Bible says they took a vote. It's a Baptist vote, by the way. And it was 10-2, we don't go. And they ruled by congregational vote. And 10 were wrong, and 2 were right. Those 2 said, "We got to go in. God has promised this is our land. We've got to go in and take this land. We've got to do it. It's our rest. It's our place." And you know what they did, just like we always do? We get right up to that point that God is moving in our lives to the next place, the next step. We step in over the threshold and we choose life. That the blessing of God wants to come upon you. And we look over there and we say, "No, thank you. I'll stay right here. I'll stay right here." Matter of fact, the Bible says that God said, "Okay, let me just go tell you this," because they grumbled at Moses, they grumbled at Caleb, they grumbled at Joshua. They wanted to stone them. They wanted to say, "Let's stone them and let's get another leader. Let's go back to Egypt." But you can't go back to Egypt because God's already promised. But I want to tell you what happens. About 90 funerals every day until the last die 40 years later. And they said this. They said, "We're going to go into this land and our children are going to be devoured." And God says, "No, let me tell you, because of your unbelief, the spirit of unbelief on you, you didn't believe the promises of God and choose this, your corpses are going to lay low in the wilderness. And your children who said we're going to be prey, they're going to experience the rest of God. But you're not." It took 40 years for them all to die off. And they wandered in the wilderness because they said, "No, we're not going any further than this." They chose death and not life because the Bible says they did not believe in Hebrews chapter 30 and chapter 3. Because they didn't believe. But you know what else it goes on to say? We see that they didn't enter in because of disobedience. Let me tell you, disobedience is not far behind unbelief. I mean, it's just, you unbelieve, you don't believe, you'll disobey. It's just like, let me tell you, obedience is just right behind faith. Third question, and we're going to talk a little bit more about this week. First question, what are you yoked to? Second, am I choosing life? And the third thing is, how are you going to war this year? How are you going to war? Not worry. How will I war? Okay, I just say this. This happened to me last Saturday morning. I'm driving along, and God asked me a question. Why aren't you warring like you used to war? Why aren't you warring like you used to war?
And I knew exactly what he meant. Let me tell you something. Things are good around here. They're healthy. I'm not saying we're perfect. Not everybody's happy. Are y'all happy? Oh, never mind. No, answer that. Things are good in our marriage. Things are good in our family. I mean, things are good. And you know, I think sometimes when things are good, what do? We don't press in like we were pressing in. We don't see the urgency. And we stop warring like we've warred before. You see, one of the things that's happened in our lives is Johnny and I are praying together like we've never prayed together before. And we've got to thinking just in this last week, you know, we pray for people, but the question is, do we war for people? And I want to say this because it's real important. I made a decision Saturday. That's a war. I got used to war. And you know what that means is, it's just when you look at Ephesians 6, chapter 10, verses 10 through 13, he says, listen, your struggle's not flesh and blood. So quit warring like it's flesh and blood, because it's not flesh and blood. We want to condemn the other political party. We want to condemn people. We want to condemn them. And that's not your struggle. You want to condemn those people that are bad to you, who do you wrong, who speak evil of you. And I want to tell you, your struggle's not with this. You got a struggle in your marriage. It's not flesh and blood. It's a spiritual struggle. Problem with your parents, problem with your children. It's not flesh and blood. And so it's not flesh and blood. There's another verse. It's in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I think it's the next passage. Would you go there? Next passage. 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5. He says, listen, though we walk in the flesh, we don't war in the flesh. You don't get rid of sin by fleshly manner. You don't get rid of the alcohol. You don't get rid of the addiction. You don't get rid of the lust. You don't get rid of the anger. You don't get rid of anything by walking it out in the flesh. Because the weapons of our warfare are divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. My struggle is not flesh and blood. It's against principalities. It's against the enemy. It's your struggle. If you can see it with your physical eyes, it is not your struggle. It's a heavenly struggle. And let me just tell you what I believe. As a Baptist, I believe that your struggle is against Satan himself. But I want to tell you this. Satan is not omnipresent. He is not all powerful. And he's not all knowing. Satan can't be here and over there in one swoop. I'm just telling you that. And you know what? I look at my life, I think, you know what? Satan's got a whole lot of other fish to fillet than me. So I'll just send my angels. He'll just send his angel. And so I believe in the demonic. I believe that they're demons. Now, I don't believe that there's a demon behind every bush. I believe there's 50. No, I'm only kidding. Almost. And I'm not a demon hunter. You know that. Or we'd be talking about that all the time. I'm not, but I'm just telling you, there is a war. And it's a war to kill, steal, and destroy. It's a war to rob from you. It's a war for you to go to the places that you don't want to go. It's a war, and you've got to address it as that. And over the next several weeks together, we're going to be addressing it. We're going to be looking at how the enemy comes and does that, and how these weapons of our warfare are to be used. Because go back to our story. You don't have to turn to it, but back to the story of you're in the boat, and Jesus is in the boat, and he seems to be sleeping. And you know, what's the way they're warring? They're warring with fear and worry and anxiety and mistrust and unbelief. That's how they're warring in their storm. And they're warring like Jesus hadn't won the war. They're warring like Christ didn't win. And I want a war like Christ has won, because he has won. And you are a co-heir and a co-warrior with Christ. Bottom line,
Listen, Jesus has overcome the world. Your struggle is not what you're looking at, and your weapons are awesome. And what he says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 through 5, when he asks me, are you warring? Why are you warring like you haven't been warring? I know what he's saying. I'm not taking the sword of the Lord, and I'm not taking the belt of truth, and the helmet of salvation, and the breastplate of righteousness, the shield of faith. Instead, I'm going to try to work it out. Let me tell you, when you try to work it out, you get back to the yoke of a heavy laden and a weariness. And so the questions, what are you yoked to? Will you be yoked to Christ? Are you choosing life? Will you choose life by hearing him and obeying him? And will you war not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit? So if you war according to the flesh, deeds of the flesh are going to come your way. And you'll think of that being angry is the way to do it. I mean, you know, when Jesus said, turn the other cheek, that's warfare. That's warfare. That doesn't make sense, but that's warfare. So we war according to the Spirit of God. We listen to the Spirit. We hear what the Spirit of God is saying, and we move with it. Now, one last thing. The next time you go through a difficulty and you're about to lose it faith, lose it with anger, lose it with anything, and you're going to war the way of the flesh, I want to challenge you to do something. I'm going to challenge you that when you're in the middle of it, I want you to ask God, ask Jesus, ask the Holy Spirit, God, what are you saying right now? What are you saying and what are you doing? Because I want to do and I want to say in this circumstance that I'm all worked up about, worried, fearful, angry, or whatever, I want to hear what you're saying and see what you're doing, because I want to say what you're saying and I want to do what you're doing. Listen, that's how we war according to the Spirit. That's how we do it. And I want to ask you, how will you war this year? How will we war as a church this year? How will we see the enemy's head crushed in our marriages, in our families, in our children? How are we going to see the enemy crushed in our addictions? How are we going to see him crushed? Because you've heard me say it before, and I'll end with this. The promise is to the Romans, the Roman church, to us. And Satan's head will soon be crushed under your feet. You are a co-heir and a co-laborer and a co-warrior with our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. How will you war? Bow with me in prayer. Father, may we choose you today. God, may we choose life. May we be yoked to you. May we choose life. May we war according to the Spirit, where the weapons of our warfare are divinely powerful for the destruction of forces. We take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. I want to thank you for that today. Come, fill us. Fill us with your word. Fill us with your way. And may we come to an end of a week next week and look at all the choices we made according to your Spirit, according to your way, so that we might do life your way. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.